Welcome to the Get Out Podcast. We are back in here again, somehow. And today we're going to be talking, here in body, maybe not in mind. That's generally true, I think, of some of us. Today we're going to be talking about some hiking. Yay, round of applause. Insert here. We're going to try and tone down our excitement a little bit. It's getting a little out of hand.
Right.
Yeah. So, do y'all like to hike? I know I like to hike.
I love to hike.
I do too.
There you go. Three for three.
Yep.
So I guess to start out, we should talk about the, what is hiking? We're going to talk about the definition. We're not going to talk about it. I'm just going to tell you. So hiking is the activity of going for long walks, especially in the country or woods.
Not on the beach?
No, that's long walks on the beach. That's something you put in your Tinder profile.
I don't have one of those.
I don't James anymore.
Nah, I haven't been on Tinder for a while, boys.
So in addition to hiking, we'll go ahead and explain rucking real quick. And rucking is walking a set distance while carrying a weight in a backpack. Boom. And both of y'all being former military, y'all can explain how much fun that is.
It's fun when you're not being forced to do it. Like, I've gone and done rucks out of the military and enjoyed it because it's a personal challenge. But typically when you're doing it in the military, you're being told to do it. So it takes the enjoyment factor out of it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So where can you find places to hike?
My personal favorite, which I've been using here a lot lately, is Google Maps. That's how I found the last trail that I've gone and explored a couple of times.
Google Maps, or you can get on your state's website. They have trails and stuff that you can look up on the website too.
Yep. So Google Maps, Apple Maps, state website. There's a website called alltrails.com, and it has all the trails, supposedly. Doesn't have all of them, but it's got a lot on there. And the state's websites, you can go to federal websites. You can look at your BLM land and things like that in states where you have that. We don't have that luxury here in Texas, really.
We got a little bit of it in East Texas with the National Forest, but yeah.
Yeah, there's a little bit. Not a whole lot.
Yep.
And then there's also an app called Gaia, G-A-I-A, that I've used before, and they've got a pretty good amount on there.
Yeah, I actually went and pulled that one up the other day just to kind of check it out. That way I know exactly more about it, and it's actually really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot on there. And it has some GPS tracking functions and things like that. So if you're interested in that, check it out. We're clearly not sponsored by them or anyone.
Yep.
We're just doing this for funsies.
100%.
It's sponsored by Jalapeno Pig.
There you go. Once again with the Jalapeno Pig. For those who are just tuning in and don't, for those who don't know what a jalapeno pig is, Billy, why don't you explain that to him?
So, in the wonderful, wonderful state of Texas, there's this goofy-looking little hog creature, even though it's not a pig at all, not a hog, they're not related, collared peccary, or as we like to call them, javelina. Well, in my goofy natural state, as always, I have decided to call them jalapeno pigs, and I've called them jalapeno pigs for years. So therefore, on that boundary and note, I have decided to make t-shirts with said jalapeno pig rocking his sunglasses and his hiking vest. So, shirts are available. If you're interested, you can either get a hold of us here at Get Out Media or get a hold of me at Final Moment Outdoors.
There you go. Jalapeno pig shirts.
Jalapeno pig.
They look great on the trail, by the way.
Yes, they do.
So what are y'all wearing when you go hiking? Let's get into that. What should we be wearing?
I think the most important thing to talk about is footwear.
Yes.
So
feel free.
So me personally, I rock the Vital 8s by Danner. Love the boots. Actually, as Billy's well aware, Danner was one of the brands that we had access to in the military. Obviously, we also had Bates and Belleville and a bunch of different companies that produce our military boots for obviously our uniforms. And of course, our ruck boots, so to speak, or our deployment boots, as a lot of people like to call them. Lightweight, durable, very comfortable, a lot of support. Big thing for me besides, you know, support is waterproof. Because, you know, you nine times out of 10, especially like in North Carolina, you found yourself walking through a lot of mud and a lot of swamp water. So something to help keep your feet somewhat dry during those long rucks, as Billy was talking about earlier, definitely came in handy. But no, I went with the Vital 8. I looked at a couple when I went and bought them from Bass Pro Shop a few years ago in preparation for my New Mexico mule deer to hunt, and looked at a few Redhead, looked at some Ozark Mountain, looked at a few Danners, and tried on, gosh, man, probably 6 or 7 different pairs, and did the whole, you know, you put them on, you walk a couple of yards, come back, try another pair. And they felt the best. They felt perfect on my feet, plenty of support. Haven't looked back since. Been rocking them for 2 years now. They're still strong. You know, everything's still good on them. So I love them. They're worth the money. You know, you spend a couple hundred bucks with Danner, but they're worth it in my opinion.
Yep. I rock Bellevues. Yep. I like the Flyweight C320. They're ultralights. Mm-hmm. They have really great support, really comfortable. And they're not really heavy. They're actually really, really light.
Yep.
So you don't wear your feet or your legs out while hiking with a heavy boot. Like I said, these got really good tread, really good comfortability. I mean, they're just, and they're made in the USA, which is why I wear them. I don't wear the China stuff.
All right, then.
Fair enough. All right, President Trump.
China.
All right, Felon Trump.
Yes.
Yep. What you got, Spencer? What about you, buddy?
China.
So I actually don't have a good pair of hiking shoes right now, but I was actually at Bass Pro Shop, Cabela's, one of those the other day, and they had some Danners that I really was into. So I might break down and get some of those. They were the Danner Sharp Tails.
Yep.
They're more of like a leather mock toe style boot, like moccasin toe style, and I really like those. But I didn't get a chance to try them on or anything like that. So I still got some shopping to do.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. I would say just go to your local, you know, sporting goods store, outfitter, you know, I don't even know how many shoe stores they got now.
A bunch.
Right. I just stop by and try a couple of pair. I wouldn't just try to go online and just pick one. Definitely go somewhere where you can try them on and actually put some steps in and make sure they actually work for you. Because you'd be surprised. The big popular brand may not actually be the one you like.
Yeah. Each brand fits a little bit differently. And so each one, on that note, each pair of shoes is going to have different features. So as far as features go, what should people be looking for on their boots?
Honestly, personally, I would look for, like what Billy mentioned, look for something that's actually lightweight. Because if you actually go and try to do a hike with some heavier boots, which Billy and I've seen this 9 times out of 10 with people in the military that were technicians, they would get their steel toe boots and they would, for some reason, think it would be smart to wear their steel toe boots on a hike and absolutely destroy their feet. So finding something that is lightweight and can actually allow you to still maneuver in them, almost if you're not wearing, you know, above the ankle shoes, is key, because some of these hikes you go on, your actual body is going to be at an extreme angle moving forward or backwards. And you want something that would actually move with your ankles and not fight against you.
Yeah. Forward, backward, side to side, in weird positions.
Yep.
You just never know. So you mentioned ankle height. Talk about that a little bit more.
Well, cause I mean,
and what people should be looking for.
Yeah. Well, we were kind of laughing about it when you and I were talking about when my kids and I went to Panther Canyon Trail here in New Braunfels, Texas, is I decided to wear my Nike Air Maxes, because the trail wasn't anything steep or anything, but it was only 1.5 miles. But even with the simple uneven terrain, I probably rolled my ankle about 3 times. So getting, you know, a lace up pair of hiking boots that are above ankle, meaning they don't sit there and stop right below the ankle or at the ankle. They actually come up and give you that support is definitely key, because it helps prevent you from doing that. It almost acts like a splint of sorts. It would prevent you from rolling your ankle. Now, could you still roll an ankle with those? Of course, in an extreme sense, but it's going to prevent you from doing it on the simplest of uneven terrain.
Yep. 100% agree. I have shattered my ankle in a wakeboarding accident when I was younger, and I have also worn the steel toe Thurgood logger boots and broken my ankle that way. So there's nothing foolproof. Just be careful. But yeah, more support, especially if you're going to be on rougher terrain, is generally going to be a better idea.
Yep. And don't get me wrong, they make really good, you know, athletic wear, you know, running shoes and hiking shoes. You know, they actually have shoes for hiking and they do work. It's just you run the risk without having that ankle support, which it's up to you. You know, actually, you know, everyone's a grown adult here, unless we have kids listening, but everyone's a grown adult. You can make your decisions, but I'm very pro actually having boots over shoes, especially on, you know, steeper climbs. Like, you know, we love Enchanted Rock, things like that. I wouldn't really go too much with the tennis shoes.
Yeah. I would say, like, if you're going to your local city park and they have a hiking trail, if it's not too extreme, yeah, you could get away with something like that. No problem. And you'll probably be more comfortable. I've seen a lot of people out there rocking the toe shoes. Oh, I had a couple pairs of those for a while. They're interesting. But yeah, on any kind of extreme terrain, I'm just not a fan.
We had a decent amount of Marines, especially my first enlistment, you know, between 2009 and 2013, when those first came out, and they were always wearing them. Like when we go on our morning runs through the woods there in Camp Lejeune, they would wear them. And I just thought they were the goofiest looking things, man. And they swore up and down, they swore they were comfortable, but I was like, there's no way I'm running in those.
Yeah. They were comfortable. They're very different because it's more of a natural foot movement and like impact load. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a personal preference thing. And for me, it's just not what I'm going to run anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially now that I'm older and fatter. So let's shift away from that. It's a great segue, by the way. Yep. Let's shift away from that and let's talk some backpacks. What are y'all rocking? What do y'all like to rock? Any suggestions?
Well, it depends really on kind of what you're doing for the day. If you're just going for something quick, I got a couple of small backpacks that I use. I'm not good with names. I can't remember the names.
That's fine.
But I got this big one here. It's got a big main pouch. It's got a big zipper pouch on the top. Got a big medium zipper pouch on the front. And it's got two smaller ones on the side. And it's got the waist belt part right there. So you put it around your waist so you don't have all the weight on your shoulders, adjustable straps. I don't know the name of this one either, but it is nice.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's what I was going to say as far as it's just a generic tip, you know, a hot tip, is I would always go for a backpack that has the waist belt and the strap for your chest. To keep the straps close and tight, because especially if you start getting on, you know, as we experience going downhill, you actually start moving at a steadier pace. It keeps the bag nice and tight to your body. So it's not sitting there, that weight shifting up and slamming down on your shoulders, because it will beat on your shoulders after a long hike. So
pausing is a thing.
Yep. So I highly recommend if you're hiking, especially if you're hiking with weight, you're not just like having a camelback. Because if you're just wearing a camelback, you don't need all the waistband or anything like that. But if you're hiking with some weight, regardless of the amount, like I say anything over five pounds, you should have some form of the chest restraint and a waist belt, in my opinion.
I would say if you're just doing a day hike, a regular backpack will do it. But I will say on that note, you mentioned the chest straps and the hip belts and all that. If you're doing a day hike, you don't need a hip belt. I'm just going to put that out there. You don't need it. But the chest straps... 100% you need those if you're going to be moving and grooving. They just, like you said, they keep everything tight to you. And it's just a lot more comfortable.
Yep.
If you're doing multi-day trips, yeah, you're going to be carrying more gear. It's going to help to have that hip strap, especially like you mentioned, if you're going to be carrying a lot of weight, it'll help share that load. And a lot of times it's going to have like extra pockets and things so that you can carry even more stuff, especially if you need something handy.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you're in bear country, you can have your bear spray relatively close to your hand. You're not having to freak out and go into your backpack.
Yeah. Yeah. And that hip belt I found is a good place if I'm carrying like a sweater or something and I don't feel like taking my backpack all the way off. Well, I guess I got to take it all the way off Anyway, I like to keep a sweater handy, or at least like a cloth or something.
Yep.
Just for like wiping my face.
Yep.
Just stuff like that.
Another thing that I like to have with mine, and the reason why I bought the one that I did, I bought the Magellan Hunter from Academy, is it had the internal bladder system. So yep, I know a lot of people love to have, you know, like their Nalgene's or their Yetis or whatever strapped to the side. That bothers me because it just beats on your hip the whole time you're hiking. I prefer that Camelback just because of the fact the cork can come over the strap. It's right there. You don't have to constantly take your pack off or stop to even drink. You can still move and just put the straw right up and keep going.
Yep,
for sure. So what are y'all putting in the backpack? What are y'all taking with you? Let's say, because we'll split it up between like multi-day and day packs. So let's start with day packs. Are y'all even taking anything on a day pack?
Oh yeah. My biggest thing is obviously water, not just for me, but I typically have people with me, and I don't know, call it the military in me. I pack a little bit more water than I need because sometimes people don't think about it. And I know we talked about this at the ranger station at Enchanted Rock. The first thing they ask you is, do you have plenty of water? And you still be surprised how people show up to do those hikes without water. So I tend to bring a little bit more water in the event, like, you know, with my kids or whatever, if they run out, I have a healthy amount of supply, especially because it does get hot here in Texas. In places like Enchanted Rock, that granite gets extremely hot. So the surface heat is almost as bad, if not twice as bad, than what the actual temperature is. So I always make sure I got plenty of water in my pack.
Yep, 100%. I'm going to carry water. I'm going to carry some kind of first aid. And it's going to vary depending on the length of the hike and the how extreme that the hike is going to be. But I'm at least going to have some bandages and gauze and, you know, some antibiotic ointment. Yep. I'll carry some Benadryl, ibuprofen, things like that.
Yeah, Benadryl and ibuprofen is definitely the two that you need, because everything here in Texas in some form of way likes to have some form of potency of a venom or a poison or some form of proteins or bacteria that like to really irritate the skin. Poison ivy, poison oak, all that fun stuff.
Hey, if it don't bite you, poke you, or sting you, it ain't from Texas.
There you go.
Yep. 100%.
Well, and aside from the plants and animals, a lot of times just the allergies in Texas can, that's everywhere. Allergies are going to be different for everybody, but sometimes it's just unbearable.
Yep.
And a little bit of allergy med, that can really help.
Oh yeah. Cause you don't want to have your, you know, trip ruined because of the fact that, you know, you're getting stuffed up, your eyes are burning. Cause it makes it bad. Cause like with, for me, I'm not trying to brag, I don't suffer from allergies. But however, my youngest son, which Spencer and Billy, y'all both know, he inherited that trait from his mom. He really suffers at times. So I'll keep that stuff with me to help him out, because I want him to enjoy the hike, enjoy the day just as much as I can. Because if the kid doesn't get a chance to experience everything in a positive way, he may not want to do it again. So I always try to prevent that from ever happening.
Yeah, we'll get into first aid a little bit more later. But what else are y'all carrying in your bags for a day pack?
Trail mix.
Trail mix?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got to go with the trail mix, man. It's in the name. You have to have trail mix when you're on a hike.
Yeah. I carry my little pocket rod.
There you go. You haven't put that thing down since we started.
No, because it's fun to play with.
Okay. Please describe what that is, because.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. So you essentially got a micro rod handle, and then you got the portion of the shaft where the reel attaches into, and then
not to interrupt you, Billy, but guys, he's holding a fishing pole.
Yes, I'm holding a fishing pole.
Yeah.
And then there's like another portion, which essentially would be like the start to the main body of your rod, but it's actually hollowed out. And it's got a little screw cap on it, and it has these little metal rods in there that are meant for your line, because off the main body, it shoots off at a 45 that actually has the collapsible rod portion, but it's completely hollow. There's no eyes, and it extends. So it's like a little micro all-in-one three-piece collapsible rod.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's really, really cool.
But it has an eye on the very end, doesn't it? Oh, no, it's just a tube.
Yeah, it's a straight tube, man. It's like a little pocket rod, man. This thing's okay. Awesome.
So the line goes through the tube. That's interesting.
Yep, and you got to use those little metal rods that have a pre-drilled hold. You got to tie it on to the line out of the reel, and you got to shoot it down a tube when it comes out, and then you can tie everything on, and you're ready to rock and roll, my man.
So you have a fishing musket.
Yeah.
Ka-chow!
With a blunderbust?
Yeah, right. I got a fishing muzzle loader I carry with me on day packs.
Yep.
Yeah, I carry this on every pack, every hike I go on.
Because even in the desert?
You never know what body of water you might come across.
There you go. So I'm not going to be packing a pocket rod.
Neither am I.
A pocket fishing rod.
Y'all ain't no fun. I guess I'll catch all the fish myself.
That's fine.
Yeah.
More fun for me.
James and I'll just stick with our trail mix.
Yep.
That's okay.
All right. Don't. So that really, that's pretty much all you really need on a day trip, right?
That's, yeah, that's what I would say. So something to, obviously, cause you're gonna be burning calories the whole time. So something to help keep your calorie intake high, keep your your fuel. And then obviously obviously just plenty of water, especially if it's just a day climb, you know, because you can do a lot of these hikes and these trails around, we're here in Central Texas. You can do them easily within a couple of hours. So it's not like
Don't forget rain gear.
Nah, you can live it.
It's always about his rain gear.
In Texas, you don't really run into the rain too frequently. Now, if you're hiking, obviously, in like the month of March, April, May, and even into June, I would say you can you could have that. But towards the middle of the summer, dude, if I was bringing anything, it would be a tarp in the event that you got to stop somewhere and just get some shade, because there's some of these trails that you're out and there's no shade around. So if you need to set up something quick to cool off, just get underneath out of the sun, I would carry like a small tarp with me, you know, a poncho liner, a poncho, something, because then it kind of acts as one and the same, rain gear and, you know, sun protection.
Yeah, and you can pick those up cheap.
Yep.
I've even used a trash bag before.
Yep. And see, I would have trash bags in mine only because it acts as a waterproofing bag for all my gear on the inside of my pack in the event that it rains.
Yeah, so that's a... that's a nice little hot tip there, is if you carry, Billy dropped his pocket rod.
No.
If you carry some trash bags in your pack, you can use them. So you can put them in your pack. If you have like a top loader, you can put them in your pack and then put all your stuff in there. And then that's going to kind of keep everything dry. And then if you want to keep your pack itself dry, you can actually put the trash bag over the outside. Or if your pack is like mine here, at the bottom, it actually has a rain fly that stores in the bottom of the pack.
Yep.
And that's just literally a waterproof cover.
That's like Badlands. Badlands packs, they offer a rain tarp.
Yep.
That actually stretches over your pack. Kind of like a...
yeah.
I guess the best way to describe it would be like a bed sheet almost. It's like kind of got that elastic bungee edging all the way around, and you stretch it out over the top of your pack, and voila.
Yep.
Yeah. That mine has that same thing, and it's fitted to the backpack when it's like full. So even if it's just chock full of stuff, it'll still fit over it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, trash bags are super handy. The other super handy thing, especially if you are going to be out in potentially wet environments, a couple of Ziploc bags are always handy.
Oh yeah. Especially for like your electronics, cell phone, GPS, things like that.
Yeah, they weigh almost nothing, and it's a nice way to waterproof a couple of things.
Yep.
So let's talk about, we're kind of getting into some of the longer hike, longer trip gear. So what else are y'all going to bring on like a longer hike, like a multi-day excursion?
I got it right here. Here it is. We've talked about it before. James,
talk about it again.
What is it, James?
Good old e-tool.
Yeah, buddy. Don't leave home without it.
Yep.
There you go. Now explain the e-tool to those who don't know, which is basically going to be us civilians.
All right. So the e-tool, it's a shovel with an axe blade and a saw blade. And you can dig your way out of a situation. You can saw your way out of the situation, or you can hack your way out of the situation.
Yep.
And it folds down into what, an 8x2?
Yeah.
Roughly?
Yeah, about 8x2. Yeah.
8x2 little compactable size.
That's 8 inches by 8 inches by about 2 inches thick.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, give or take. And this thing is awesome. I mean, you can do everything with it.
Yeah, and on the topic of having a multi-tool, you know, you obviously got like your multi-tool Gerbers and things like that out there. But if I were to have one of something, it would be a knife. That would be the one out of any form of tool that I would carry would be a knife.
Oh, for sure. I'm carrying a knife all day, every day.
Yep.
I carry a Leatherman.
I like the Leathermans on camping trips just because you have that random Phillips head screw that, you know, you don't want to stick your knife tip in the end of, or you need a random saw, or heaven forbid, a nail file. I mean, it's just anything in the hiking world that serves multiple purposes, it's going to be a winner in my book.
That's why, like with obviously with me and what I did in the Marine Corps, being a technician, love the axe. As a tech, the Gerber multi-tool came in handy because obviously you don't want to ever use your knife. And I've seen guys make the mistake so many times and they break their blades. You never want to use your knife as a Phillips head screwdriver or flathead screwdriver. And
I'm the guy who tries to use my knife as a screwdriver. I've broken tips off left and right.
So the Gerber came in handy numerous times in the event, you know, because obviously most Gerbers have like a bottle opener as one of their attachments. You know, obviously the needle nose pliers, different types of knives, Phillips head, flathead. It's small, it's compact, you can fit anywhere in a pack. And if it's rather you have it and not need it, than you need it and not have it.
Yeah. Yep. For sure.
Also carry my axe.
I see that. Why don't you explain that to the masses?
So, for the masses, this is an axe. Okay, it's a multi-purpose axe. That's why you see this little goofy pintail up here. I don't have the attachment because I kind of sort of broke it, which honestly surprised me because it's pretty durable. But you can... Actually, it has a pick attachment that slides into here when you pin it. So if you're in a really hard ground and you got to dig a little bit and your shovel or your little e-tool is not cutting it, the pick attachment slides up here in this top hole. And you can pound away and bust up some of that hard dirt or clay, or depending on what you're in.
There you go. I'll let you carry that. That looks heavy.
Kind of. It's not too bad.
Guys, I think where it really comes down to gear is it depends on what you're doing with your hike. Because obviously, if you're just going down your local nature trails here in like your city parks, because you know there's plenty of them around, you're obviously not going to carry an axe. You might become a disturber of the peace with your community. But no, if you're going out like what Billy's known for, going out and hiking in the mountains, especially during hunting season, things like that, you would easily and definitely want to have some form of hatchet, some form of axe, which we talked about in the camping episode. So if you want to get more embedded in that, scroll back a couple episodes of the camping and we definitely dive in a little bit as far as the axe and the hatchet and why you would want one of those.
100%. Yep. So also, James, you like the survival.
Go ahead.
You carry a what?
It's a survival box.
Oh, go into that one.
Has the box survived?
So far, like four seasons now?
Yep.
There you go. Explain your little survival box.
Okay, I shall explain.
To the it looks like a pencil box from the 90s.
Dude, it does.
It could be. I don't know. So, a little flashlight. Little
space makers.
Yeah. So, it's got a little flashlight in it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I like to fish. So it's got a little bit of fishing gear in there, some hooks, some lines, some swivels, some soft plastics, some little floaters.
Yeah, and it's just in like a little 2x2 Ziploc bag. It's tiny.
Yeah, itty bitty. So I got the paracord on the bracelet with the compass and the whistle attachment.
Nice. It's a good way to store paracord without having to bring a separate roll.
Absolutely. This here has the fire starter. the ferro rod and the striker and everything.
Yep, flint and steel.
This is the big compass, fold up, nice and tight.
There you go. It's, by the way, compasses are only going to help if you also have a map and know how to use them.
Yep.
Yes. Anyway, back to the box real quick. I've got these little rope shards. You can kind of fray them up and it'll help with your fire starting. I don't know what that is. This is my little...
It's important to carry things that you don't know what they are.
It looks like it's one of those, like, just little belt clip things for holding on to a canteen. I haven't actually pulled that one out of the package.
It's probably just a parts kit.
Probably. So this here is my little eating utensil. It's the fork with the knife and a gut hook.
Yes. The spork by Gerber.
Yeah. Actually, yes. Yes, it is. And I have used the gut hook before. So.
Yep.
I also have a little handsaw that you wrap around to cut little micro trees. It doesn't work all that great, though.
It does work, though.
It's basically just, in an emergency, it will. It's basically just it's kind of like a frayed metal wire.
Yeah. Yep.
They just kind of work back and forth on a tree limb. Yep. Not my recommendation, but, you know, it's, I guess it could work in an emergency.
Yep. I do keep a pin in there. Kind of redundant for a survival situation-ish, depending. But I do keep a map also in the bigger pack. But I do have the pen. That way I can kind of keep tabs on grid coordinates in case I get, like, into some sort of cell range or GPS range that's readable and can be picked up on. I can mark my 10-digit grid down and be like, I'm, like, right here. Like, come get me.
Yep.
And if you're going to be filling out a game tag, like hopefully we will be in December, you're going to need a pin.
Exactly. Yep. Also, I have the emergency heat blanket. Folded up real nice and compact. It's 130 by 210 centimeters. Don't ask me what that is in inches or feet because I'm not that smart.
Google it.
It's also known as a Mylar blanket. Yes. So it's good for emergency heat. It's also good for if things get really cold, it'll help insulate your body.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. I also have this other little tool. It's got a bottle opener on it. That's the importance of that.
A little credit card multi-tool.
Yep, pretty much.
You can slide in your wallet.
Got to have multi-tools.
I've got a flathead and a Phillips screwdriver kit here. Just a little two-piece deal, just in case some gear malfunctions.
Goes on a keychain. Yep. Nice.
And a knife. That is what once again. That's what's in the little 2x2 box.
That's a lot of stuff in that little box. Yeah.
I got jam-packed. Well, man, I keep my medical kit. But I'm not getting into that. There's too much stuff there.
Yeah, and not to mention, I know the brand Ozark makes some. I know you can go to your local pharmacy and just buy a standard first aid kit. So they have a lot out there. You can just go and grab one. Keeps a nice, small, compact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know some people probably look at my med kit and be like, oh, that's very excessive. But I don't think it is because, especially the type of hiking, backpacking, hunting that I do, it's definitely a necessity to have the amount of stuff that I have.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So what are you carrying for cooking when you go on your multi-day excursions and adventures?
I have a little cast iron that goes with me.
You carry a cast iron with you?
That's little heavy. Bitty mini.
All right.
It's not real big. I'm trying to look at some. It might be about the size of my e-tool blade, about all the bigger it is. So it's enough.
So like a CD?
Yeah. Yeah. Just enough to if I catch a fish or harvest like a squirrel or a rabbit or something, it's big enough to handle that, but it's not overly big where I'm not carrying a heavy, heavy weight.
There you go. Man, cast iron. That's one way to do it. I like my little stainless steel Stanley kits. almost always I'm bringing my little two cup. It's got two small plastic cups that are literally about like one measured cup a piece. And then those stack into a stainless steel two or three cup little pot. And so I use that for making coffee, heating up water for ramen noodles, or some kind of freeze dried meal. That's super handy. And it's a lot lighter than cast iron.
You're going to have to send me that because I'm definitely interested now.
Oh, for sure. I should have brought them on with me. But yeah, I've got a small one of those. I've also got a slightly larger one. That's, I think, a 2-quart sauce pot. And it stacks, or it nests 4 bowls inside there, like regular dinner size bowls, and some utensils as well. So that's super handy, especially if you're cooking for multiple people.
Now, do you have the, like, the parent trap? You know how they got towards the end of the movie in the camping scene, how they got that like big key ring full of different little eating utensils? Do you carry something like that, or it's got like one separate spoon, one separate fork, a separate knife? And
so in that kit, they are separate fork, spoon, knife kind of deals. But if it's just me going out, well, even if it's not, I carry this little CRKT. It's a spoon, spork. It's also got a couple of like wrench sizes on here. It's got a bottle opener on it. This thing's super handy and it weighs basically nothing. Yeah. So this is the CRKT Eatin' Tool. But yeah, if I'm going out with somebody else and I'm going to do some cooking, yeah, I'm going to carry that stuff, and it's got all the utensils and everything I need in there.
Nice.
And then even in my smaller one, it came with some little like 2-piece snap together utensils. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are junk. Go to Dollar Tree or Dollar Store or wherever, get you just some plastic forks and spoons and a knife, because they weigh nothing and they're a lot easier to deal with, in my opinion. And if they're too long to fit in your little container, you can literally just cut part of the handle off.
Hmm. Yeah. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
What about you, James?
Oh, as far as like cooking and stuff?
No, your cooking utensils and kind of what you're taking on a bigger trip out.
So typically for me, I haven't actually gone on too many overnight hikes. So I honestly don't have any of that stuff. So most of my hikes that I always do, guys, is a day hike. You know, get out there first thing in the morning, and then be back before the heat of the day kicks in, because I'm not trying to be out during the heat of the day in Texas if I don't have to be. So most of my hikes are going to be a couple of hours. Now, if I were to pack for a full-on pack-in, pack-out expedition, then...
Not if, when.
Yeah.
December, bro. New Mexico.
Yeah, well, that's why... for me, I have all my camping stuff, you know? But if I were to do it, like, simply just me and hiking in with, like, one pack, I do have this multi-tool. Here I go back again with the multi-tools, guys, because you can buy all kinds of cool stuff online. But I have a multi-tool that literally acts like a Swiss Army knife. It has a spoon, has a fork, has a knife, and it just folds out in one.
Oh, there you go.
So that's something that... that I have. Now, as far as cooking, as far as that goes, I'm actually going to be investing my money into a jet boil. That's what I'm going to invest my money into, because it's small, it's lightweight, it's compact, and it's instant. You know, we get on topic all the time about the instant coffee, just something I can literally throw up and not have to put a whole lot of time and energy into to get something going as far as food goes, especially if I don't want to eat trail mix the whole darn night. You know, it's definitely going to come in handy for me. You know, that's what I plan on putting in my pack.
Well, as Spencer likes to say, explain what a jet boil is to the masses.
Ooh.
There you go.
All right. So, guys, if you don't know what a jet boil is, it's this amazing thing called Google. But no, essentially what the jet boil is, it is a single propane burner. It's smaller. It's not like your large 1-pound Coleman burners. You know, that's what I know Spencer likes to have. That's what he has. But it runs off a much smaller propane canister. and it's a single burner. It comes with a nice little stainless steel, about a 2-cup pot, and then it also has a heat shield, so you can actually be able to grab it, maneuver the pot, and it's quick, it's lightweight, it's essentially a little mini kitchen, but it fits into the size of, gosh, man, what, a 6x6 square.
Roughly,
you know, when you put it all down, it's not super big at all. So it's essentially a mini kitchen.
Yeah. The one thing I have that I'll mention about the jet boils is, so December is going to be what, let's call it a 5-day trip. I don't actually know what it's going to be, but if it's a 5-day trip and you're going to be out there for 5 days and you're not going to be able to resupply, that means you have to carry 5 days worth of fuel for those jet boils. And they do great if you can carry all that fuel. But I've been checking out the BioLites. So if you don't know what that is, it's basically just a little stainless steel container that you can burn anything flammable in. So you can walk around and pick up twigs or leaves or whatever, and you put that in there, and then it has a little fold out stove that goes on top of it. And the nice thing about the BioLite is it actually converts that heat from the stove to electricity. And so it can charge your phone. It can run a fan, a little power bank, just from the fire that you're already going to be needing anyway. They're not cheap, but they're really cool. I got a buddy of mine that had one, and he first introduced me to those a couple of years ago. And I like those because that's all you have to carry. You don't have to carry additional fuel with it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've got a big, like literally like a 2 or 3 foot big version of it for like your backyard and stuff. That's really, that would be really cool. It's totally useless for me because I don't need to charge my phone when I'm in the backyard, but it's really cool. But their little camping version is probably about a 6-inch cylinder that's probably 10 inches tall.
Yeah.
And it charges your phone and does a lot of things like that. And I think it also has a built-in battery as well. So it doubles as a power bank.
Yeah. Well, and also
Oh,
sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to finish out. They're about $150, so they're not cheap.
Yeah, what I was going to get to. So for me, if I were to go on a multi-day trip and take something like a jet boil, I'm not going to actually cook every meal for those 5 days. So like for me, I'll have, you know, like some Clif bars, some form of protein bars to, you know, eat first thing in the morning. And then Billy, you know, you hit on this on the camping episode, you know, your freeze dried foods, things like that. Cause obviously that jet boil, you just heat up a cup of water real quick, pour it in there, let it do its thing. And you got a hot meal. So I would typically just use it to provide, like I said, immediate heat for water to cook meals. But I wouldn't use it for obviously like full on cooking for 3 square meals a day.
No.
You know,
yeah.
Definitely yeah. More like situational dictates, because obviously you can go out there, man, start a fire if you really,
yeah, for sure.
If you really want to do that. But as far as what we're probably going to be doing, hey, man, just get it quick, get the coffee in you, get the quick hot food in you, and then roll out.
Yeah. I think honestly, what I'll probably carry with us on that trip, because we will have the ability to gather and build a fire, I'll probably just build or bring a little fold out grate that can go over the fire, just a little wire grate
over the fire. Because
then on top of that, I could just put my little Stanley pots over a campfire and then cook right off of that without having to carry a separate stove or extra fuel or anything like that.
Yep.
Hey, you could go back to
episode 4.
You could go back to the days of disgusting James and take MREs.
God, man, I honestly, all jokes aside, though, the MRE is actually probably one of the best things to have if you actually know how to eat an MRE. And the reason why I say that, know how to eat an MRE. Mm-hmm. Guys, MREs are not designed for you to eat 3 of them a day.
No.
An MRE is designed for you to eat one of those things a day. And because they're high in calories, which you need on some big hikes, because you'd be surprised how many calories, if you actually monitor it, you will burn on a hike. So that was the whole purpose of the MRE, is to give you a large amount of calories, but you're not packing, like as Spencer was saying earlier, you're not trying to pack 5 days worth of meals. 5 days, if you had 3 MREs, you could easily survive 5 days with 3 MREs, and they don't take up a whole lot of space in your pack.
Yeah. Not for what you get out of them, for sure. Yeah. Because I think one MRE is a couple thousand calories.
It's right over three, I think, if I remember correctly. It's right over 3,000 calories per MRE. Dude, I used to watch service members eat three a day, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Dude, when my oldest brother, on his first trip to Iraq, he was a computer guy. He worked guidance systems or something like that. But he literally sat over there in a shipping container for 6 months, just eating three of those a day. And he came back, and it looked like he had smuggled a beach ball in his shirt, dude. He just had this perfect little pooch from eating that many calories in a day.
Yep.
We were like, dude, I thought you were in the desert. And he's like, yeah, it's those MREs.
But
you do bring up a good point. When you're hiking and you're out moving, you are, especially if you're carrying gear, you're burning a lot more calories. So don't just expect to live off of 2,000 calories a day or whatever you normally live off of. You could easily double that, if not triple or more.
Yep. And one thing I recommend, and I actually don't think, I actually like to carry either Pedialyte sells them now, and most of your sport drink companies sell them, but the little packets of electrolytes. I will definitely be having some of those, because the amount of sodium and potassium and magnesium you lose from your sweat and highly recommend having some form of those little packets on you as well, especially if you're hiking somewhere. What was that, Billy?
No, I was going to, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you like scooted up.
I think that was his chair.
I think it's the chair.
But no, not to get on a tangent on that, but I'll definitely be having some of those, because especially towards the end of the day, you're going to want to replace those vitamins that you lost.
Oh yeah. I go through a lot of those since I work outside and in the Texas summer, even with all the countermeasures that I take, you still have to supplement, which by the way, if you want to hear more about how to deal with extreme heat and especially for those of us who work outside for a living, stay tuned, because we have an episode coming up on that. I think we're calling it Into the Fire.
Especially right now, man. It's hot here and it's humid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before we get too far, obviously, James, you're talking about calories. I'll just put this into perspective. So this past Wednesday, obviously, I've been out here in PA looking for rattlesnakes. So Tuesday, I did 7.5 miles. And in that 7.5 miles, I burned 2,321 calories.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when James talks about you burn a lot of calories on big hikes, that right there just shows you 7.5 miles, 2,300 calories.
Yep.
And 7.5 miles isn't that far of a hike for a lot of people.
No, it's not.
So not at all. You could easily, if you don't pack enough food, you can come back a couple of pounds lighter.
Oh, for sure.
Which for some people might be the reason they're hiking.
Yep. I feel like that's going to be a nice little transition point there, Spencer, because I know this is one that's near and dear to your heart. Why don't you kind of explain the etiquette while out at a trail when you're dealing with actually more than just you on a particular trail?
Yeah, because everyone's out to do their own thing. They have their own goals. So my biggest pet peeve when I'm out there on the trail, people, how do I say this nicely? Don't listen to music on a Bluetooth speaker, especially if it's like not safe for work, not safe for families, kids, because there are going to be families and kids and other people on the trail. Not everyone likes the same kind of music you do. Not everyone wants to listen to the same music you do. So bring earbuds. They're less than the cost of a Bluetooth speaker. Keep it to yourself. Don't ruin anyone else's day.
Dude, I've seen it more often than not. I think, like you were saying with the whole aspect of kids, like I have kids. And the last thing I want to do is when I'm trying to hike up Enchanted Rock, and this is not saying her music's bad or thing, the last thing I want to do is hear Cardi B hiking up the top of Enchanted Rock.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Whether it's her literally hiking up Enchanted Rock or her music. That would be funny, though.
No, I think it's like you said, man. I think it's a huge respect thing, because most people, when they go out on these hikes, it's because they're trying to get away from all the hustle and bustle of everyday life, especially, you know, people who live in the city. Like, unfortunately, for Spencer, you and I, for our lines of work, we have to be around people because You know, that's where that's where the money's at. And so when we go out on these hikes and these adventures, we're trying to get away from all that. So the last thing I want to do is feel like I'm on the, you know, downtown walking, listening to all the music when I'm out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to listen to the music of nature.
Well, that's one thing I would like to emphasize, you know, talking about hiking 101, especially if there's people listening that don't actually do it or haven't gotten a chance to do it. To me, it's very therapeutic. You know, you can lose weight running on a treadmill, walking on a treadmill, row machines, all that stuff, not dogging it. But hiking, it's, there's so much around you that can just, it's just positive, man. I don't think I've ever felt negative on a hike unless it was the Marine Corps at 4 a.m. But as far as all, you know, doing it recreationally, man, it's always a blast. It's always relaxing. Yes, it hurts, but it's like that good hurt, you know, your muscles ache, things like that. I feel that personally, for people that are that are tuning in, getting lost in my thought here. it's definitely something that I highly recommend you do, and because it is something for to help you just get away from it all, and that's why the last thing we want to do is hear Cardi B on a hill.
Yeah, Cardi B or anyone else. Quite frankly, because I don't listen to music. I love my music. I listen to music all day, every day, when I'm working, when I'm at home, when I'm working out, whenever. But if I'm getting out in nature, nah, I don't want to hear it. Nope. I want to hear nature.
Yep.
You know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So don't listen to music when you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yep. And I know you brought this one up last time is, you know, when you're on a trail, there's obviously different levels of people and as far as their physical abilities on a trail. So you may be faster than the guy that that is in front of you. You may be slower than the guy who's behind you or gal, not saying it as a derogatory term. And just be courteous to people when on the trail, you know, when hiking. You know, obviously if you got someone that you're coming up on, please let them know where you're coming from. So that's where the term on your left, on your right came from. That's just letting the person in front of you know you're going to be passing them on which side, so they don't step in front of you and y'all hit each other and stumble. And then, of course, if you're coming downhill, move out the way if you're coming downhill. Just scoot over, you know, pass them up because obviously most time, you know, people that are hiking, their head's down because they're trying to see where their feet's going. So if you're coming downhill on them, just move out the way and go around them. Don't be rude to them. Don't be discouraging. And especially, like I say, don't tell a person they're halfway there when they're really not. It actually quite upset them.
Yeah. Well, and if you're really out in the middle of nowhere or like in a very remote place, not everyone can know their bearings as well as, you know, people like you and I. And so you can actually get a person lost by doing that. But yeah, you could throw out an encouraging word like, hey, man, you're really hustling or you're working hard. You're doing good, man. Just, you know, throw out something like that if you feel like it. But yeah, there's no reason to be rude on the trail.
I've had heard some comments before that I thought were unnecessary on the trail, especially on Enchanted Rock because it's a hot spot here in Central Texas. It's a quick hour and a half, 2 hour drive, depending upon where you're coming from. If you live in the San Antonio area to get there. And a lot of people go there. So you get a lot of different people from all walks of life because it's the closest thing, I guess, to what people can experience like in Billy's area or people in the Rocky Mountain states as far as extreme incline. And so you get so many different people, so many different skill levels. You got a bunch of kids, which kids are fun, but dude, kids are... They're like spider monkeys on those hills, man. I don't know how many little kids are flying past me or flying across me. And I'm just like, hey, how's it going, little man? He's just taking off, dude. And it's always a fun time. I know the last time I went to Enchanted Rock, I decided to, you know, turn into a ruck, you know, willingly turned into a ruck. So I put a bunch of weight in my backpack, carried about 30 pounds. I carried my plate carrier. For y'all that don't know what a plate carrier is, it's a bulletproof vest. And I was trying to make it harder than what it should have been, but I was conditioning myself for New Mexico. And the amount of people that came by, they're like, why are you doing it to yourself? And I'm like, hey, it's training right now. And but yeah, dude, it's it's definitely important that you know that everyone's out there trying to have fun, trying to enjoy it. Just don't be that guy or that gal. Just show respect to your fellow man and your fellow woman.
Yeah. Everybody's on their own journey. Unless they're in distress, you probably don't need to be that involved with them. But with that being said, if there is something noteworthy coming up, like, hey, man, I was actually, okay, we're bringing up Enchanted Rock a lot, but I was out there hiking by myself one time and I kind of got to this ledge and it started getting pretty steep and I kind of stopped and I sat down and I was just looking out over the view and all of a sudden this dude comes up with like ropes and stuff climbing up this wall and he's like, hey man, don't go any further because it drops off completely like 5 feet from where you're at. So if there's a safety issue, if you see a bear on the trail, you know, give someone a heads up for stuff like that. But just in general, just be out there, be supportive.
Yeah, like the trail that
and be safe.
You know, here in New Braunfels, Panther Canyon Trail, real beautiful trail, short, easy walk, a little bit of incline towards the back part of the drainage. That's what it is. It's a trail that runs up a natural drainage off the top of the plateau. And there's a lot of people that like to run their dogs on that trail. And that's one thing that, you know, the boys and I experienced, you know, nothing bad. We know we didn't get attacked by anything, but you can be around people that have their animals, you know, on the trail. So if I can leave any hot tip for anybody, don't go and just start petting someone's dog. It's actually very, very rude to do that.
As a general rule, whether you're hiking or not,
dude,
especially service dogs. Don't go up and approach service dogs. You're not even supposed to look them in the eye.
They'll sense it.
But man, so Cooper's, you know, my wife's service dog. We take him out all the time. And when we don't have his service vest on, we don't care if people come up and they're, you know, oh, he's such a cute dog. He's a cute boy. And so a lot of people are always wanting him. We took him to the bar with us last night and everybody wanted to say hi. That's fine. But when we're out and his service vest is on, there's like, we have the Velcro things to say, hey, you know, don't talk to me. Don't look me in the eye. Service dog, you know, working dog, blah, blah, blah. Bright colors.
Yep.
Everybody still comes up and bothers him.
Oh, yeah.
Drives me crazy. But yeah, so dogs on the trail. Yeah. Keep them on a leash. If they're just going to be barking the whole time, leave them at home. Don't ruin everyone else's day.
They're out there with their pugs.
Yappy dog.
I know,
dude. Yep. I've seen Pomeranians. Oh yeah, and they just I can hear them coming.
And that's one thing I like about some of the trails, you know, like Enchanted Rock. They typically don't allow pets on the trail, so it has its perks there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically, just as a general rule, be courteous and follow the posted rules of wherever you're going to be hiking. Yeah. Well, we're closing in on an hour. Y'all got any hot tips before we go?
Where I would like to leave this off for people is definitely start off on your smaller, more entry level trails. Especially if you haven't got a chance to really do it yet, and then work your way up as your experience grows.
Yep.
I wouldn't immediately be like, hey, I'm just gonna go for the very first time out to Big Bend and I'm gonna go hike Big Bend. You know, start with a smaller, easier trail.
Yeah,
get your experience level up before you try to conquer something more extreme.
Yeah, and we have a lot more on our outline, so we'll be getting into this in future episodes. So there's a lot more to cover, but we'll cover hiking training. We'll cover a little bit more on like some of the gear we're carrying for the longer trips. We're going to cover first aid a little bit more. And even cool stuff is like where to pick the best sleeping spots and things like that. So you want more hot tips, stay tuned. But before we go, Billy, you got any hot tips?
So my hot tip, obviously y'all know me well enough that I usually carry a small firearm with me. Definitely. And I can't emphasize this enough. Read
the area that you're going to be hiking, read their rules and regulation boards. Some places don't allow firearms.
Yep.
A lot of the places that I do hike, though, which is typically national forest, like not a typical place where people are at, I carry a 40 Smith & Wesson. Most of the time, if I can find them, I'm going to carry hard cast ammunition. And that's more because a lot of the hiking and stuff that I did was, which obviously you are very aware of this, a lot of people don't believe it, but South Texas has mountain lions. Washington State has bears. They have mountain lions. So a lot of places I hike do have dangerous game in there. I don't hike there intentionally to carry a firearm to try and shoot anything. I hike those places because it presents me with a challenge of the terrain. So I do benefit the most of the workout side of it as well. But I do carry a sidearm with me for protection. So for those of you who do go out to those really remote areas where there's a potential factor of running into dangerous game, do carry a firearm for protection. Because if that animal is hungry enough or pissed off enough, your pepper spray or bear spray will not stop it.
It does help, though.
It does help, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And we should obviously note that only do this, only carry a firearm if you are licensed and experienced.
Yeah.
And you and, know what and you're we'll doing.
We'll definitely get into episodes about that for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. But no, I think pepper spray 100%. And bear spray really work. And obviously not just for, you know, potential dangers of other people on the trail, but you know, that video that I sent you guys the other day with that wildlife photographer and that grizzly bear came up to check him out. You know, that pepper spray came in handy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
dude, right up on him, man.
He got right up on him. And there's
the multiple videos of the bikers and hikers out in Colorado
with the mountain
lions. Constantly mountain lion videos and attacks and stuff like that. So,
yep.
Yeah. Happened here in DFW, I think 2 years ago. Guy got attacked by a mountain lion, like in just south of, just across the river from downtown Dallas.
In California, especially on Camp Pendleton where we're at, do we have mountain lions visit base housing? Like they had the call, the base game wardens come out because there was a mountain lion. The guy left his garage open and the mountain lion came into the garage to bed down to get out of the sun.
Yeah. Even if you're in wild hog country, there are a lot of people that get attacked by wild hogs. There are a lot of different forms of deterrent, but if you're a gun person, you're licensed to carry one and you know what you're doing with it. Yeah. I carry a gun even when I'm out at James's place. So just because the hogs are everywhere, the hogs to mountain lions.
Believe it or not, the most unexpected one is coyotes.
Oh, yeah, especially if they're in a pack, which people, they do get in packs. They're not just satellite like you've seen a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my hot take.
Yep.
For sure. Well, that's a good one. So if people want to hear more about hiking, Billy.
Well, if you want to hear more about hiking and all the other fun adventures that we're going to talk about and go on, you should definitely tune in to Get Out. Yes, sir.
It's still good after all this time.
Never a dull moment.
All right, gentlemen.
Pocket rod.
Never a dull moment. Pocket rod. Yeah. Well, we always do this at the end. What do we have coming up? I know we kind of met and talked about the calendar.
So definitely as far as the note that Billy left off of with the firearm and Spencer hitting on the firearm safety, we're going to be diving into that in the next future episodes. Got a couple actually on that topic lined up. Another big thing with it being the summer, obviously we're going to have a few guests on, not going to say who yet, cause we don't want to spoil anything, but we got a couple of interviews coming in. It's going to be fun. It's gonna be a good time. Talk about, you know, their passions and what they love in the outdoors. And then of course, Spencer, you've already told him about the, you know, heat prevention and surviving in the heat, you know, so we got a lot of interesting summertime topics coming up for sure.
Yeah, we're gonna talk to some musicians, And we're going to talk about, we're actually going to get into some of the film and video stuff, which is really the whole reason we started Get Out. The podcast is just kind of something fun we're doing in addition to all that. But yeah, we're going to be getting into our filmography, videography side of things and kind of telling people what we really started this thing for. For sure. Yeah. Sounds good. All right. Well,
yeah.
Absolutely. Thanks, gentlemen, for coming. It's always a pleasure. It's always fun. Well, it's not always fun, but this one was fun. All right, gentlemen. Later. I'll see y'all next time. Thanks.